Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, you are now tuned in to T-Fizzle Radio, and we're coming on today to talk about quite a few different things in the next hour. We're going to touch on the tragedy that's going on and the devastation that's happening in Haiti, and we're also going to talk about the ABC special that was talking about why is it that 42% of black women are still single and unmarried. We're going to be talking about that. So, and I have my co-host on the line. I have two of my co-hosts. I have Miss T-Baby and I have Marty J. Miss T-Baby, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is T-Baby, and I'm glad to be on the show, and we're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff tonight.
All right. Marty?
Marty J, 704.
Why you got to be so extra? But anyways, this happened now. We're into about 48 hours of the earthquake that happened in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And it's just really sad. There's been nonstop coverage about it on CNN, MSNBC, and it's just really, really unfortunate what is going on with these people. And I feel like we definitely have to step up as people, and especially as minorities, and help out and chip in any way we can. These are our people. There's no difference between a Haitian and African American. These are people, they're still descendants of slaves from Africa. They have the same bloodline. You know, this is a black nation, and I feel like, you know, granted, help is coming, but part of me feels like help is kind of slow to come. You feel me? Because I'm like, I remember back when the earthquake happened, what was that, in 05? I was in labor. I remember this. It happened when the earthquake hit, was it Pakistan? It was like an 8.0, and I remember, like, within a few hours, they were dropping bottles of water and food and everything else. So it's just like, you know, I feel like the response is kind of slow. I'm trying to be patient, but I feel bad because there's literally live people in these buildings, and they're, like, trapped, and they can't get out. And so many people in the States are really, really worried about their families. What did you guys think when you guys first saw the report with everything that was going on in Haiti?
Really devastating. You know, it just really, really makes you think about, you know, at any given moment, like, whatever you're doing could easily just crumble. But I have to say I'm really, really impressed with the way President Obama's really handling the issue. He's been quick to respond. You know, his addresses have been really sincere. So I just appreciate how he's handling it because, I mean, you know, if we still had our other president, President Bush, we wouldn't be doing anything like we're doing right now.
I know, right? He probably been sitting there lost and confused like he did during Katrina.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's the big thing that I think that it's just really good how he was able to just quickly, you know, allocate funds and work with the Red Cross and give them government aid and all that other type of stuff just so they can just get there, which is the big thing, which I think is admirable on his behalf.
Mm-hmm. So what did you feel when you first, you know, heard and saw the devastation, Marty?
Hello?
Yeah. How did you feel when you first heard about everything?
I mean, it was very sad because I know my father's family, they're from Haiti, so I know.
Your aunt. We were just talking about that Sunday when we had the photo shoot. She's Haitian. So we were talking about how she speaks Creole and everything, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm. Has she been able to get a hold of her family?
I didn't talk to her just yet. I'm going to talk to her later on tomorrow. I haven't heard anything, so that's good thus far. But, I mean, anything is possible because there's still people that's unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm. So you said your whole father's half is Haitian?
They're from Haiti. They're American born, but the mother, you know, the older generation, they're from there.
That is so sad. And I know I had made a video yesterday on YouTube, and basically letting people know that, and I want to let my Blog Talk audience know, that if you do a text message through your phone and you text 90999 and you put in Haiti, it's going to donate $10. They're going to take $10 from your phone bill, and that's going to be used towards the rescue efforts in Haiti. So that's what I did for everyone on YouTube. And since then, I've gotten a lot of emails from people. People have left comments. They're not able to get a hold of their family members, their siblings, their parents. So it's a lot going on right now, and it's just utter devastation. Haiti is about the size of Maryland, from what I'm told, and, you know, they're already a poor country, and they've already been through so much with the hurricanes and the flooding and everything else. So to see them, you know, get hit again by this earthquake, it's just like, dang, they can't get a break. You know, and it's just sad to see people literally trapped underneath rubble, and you hear them screaming and crying, and you figure we're sitting at home safe, and we're basically watching this through TV. So I can just imagine how the reporters like Anderson Cooper and Sanjay Gupta and whoever else is out there, how they're feeling seeing all this firsthand. And I can just imagine, you know, my heart goes out to the people who do have family in Haiti who are here in the States, and they're not able to get a hold of their family members. They don't know what's going on. So it's definitely, definitely, definitely heart-wrenching just to see these stories and you know, just 1 minute everything's okay, and then the next minute your world is in chaos.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess if we could take one thing away from this, I guess me personally, it makes me be more appreciative of what I have here in my life, like my family, my kids, you know, everything I've been through. It makes you appreciate that because you figure these people are doing the same thing that we do every day. You know what I'm saying? Cooking dinner, whatever, getting ready for bed, and now their whole life is just turned upside down, and it's not just you, it's your entire community. You know, imagine going back to your neighborhood and it looks like a war zone and you don't recognize anything. You feel me? So it's just it just has to be really, really devastating. So what do you guys feel like you guys have learned from this, or what do you guys think you're going to take away from this whole situation?
I think definitely to be more grateful. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we complain about and a lot of things that we take for granted, just even just being in the United States. Like, Haiti is not the richest country, you know what I mean, out there. So already these people are already living, you know, in, you know, poverty already. Not everybody in Haiti, but the majority of who lives there is living in poverty. And now they're even more in poverty. So it just makes you be very, very grateful and very, very thankful. And sometimes for any of the little problems that we have, like not having money to go out to eat or anything like that, those are not really big problems. Like, these people now have lost families, have lost their homes, have nothing to eat, have no clothing, all of that type of stuff. Don't know where anything is, and that just makes you think and really be grateful.
Exactly. And there's some people in the chat room, and they're saying that, you know, basically at the end of the day, God controls it, you know, and
yep.
There's a lot more in store. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, you know, we're in the end of times and, you know, this is, you know, 2012 is coming up and all this stuff. But, I mean, it still doesn't take away from the human tragedy of it all.
Right.
You know, it's still sad. And we got a caller calling in, so I'm going to go ahead and let them in real quick. Area code 704. 704, you're on the line.
Happy New Year, lovely T.
Hey, Happy New Year.
How you doing?
This?
This is Old School. How are you?
I'm good. How about you, Old School?
Pretty good. You know.
Oh,
turn
your microphone down for me, sweetie. Like,
okay,
turn off your speaker.
Okay.
Hey, Happy New Year.
How's that? That's good.
Still here a little bit. There you go.
Okay. You know, this tragedy is terrible. I do want to congratulate the president and the United States for moving so swiftly. We all know how long it took them to respond to the Katrina, but that's a whole other story for another day. I just want to just say some things about Pat Robertson and Rush Limbaugh. I don't want to give them too much time. Because it's not about them, but for Pat Robertson, you know anything about the Bible, no man can interpret the Bible, and I just found out today that he's senile. He's a lunatic. When the prime minister had a stroke in Israel a couple years ago, he said that was because he gave some land to the Palestinians. Katrina was was done in because of abortions in the United States. Nobody's made him God, so he's an idiot. And Rush Limbaugh is a blithering idiot. So that's all I'm going to say about him. He's so racist, but it's scary because I don't know if you realize how many people listen to Rush.
And a lot of people.
Rush does have a voice, but that's just nothing but old school racism. But my heart went out because I was watching Anderson Cooper and people were carrying their loved ones in wheelbarrows to the cemetery. And they were just dragging, stacking dead bodies like cords of wood. We in America, Americans, we're spoiled, and there's no way we're as tough as the Haitians because they've been going through stuff for years, five hurricanes and all that stuff. But, you know, my heart goes out to them because by the grace of God, that could have been the United States, could have been us. And, and I was glad to hear about what you said about the $10 phone bill. I'm going to do that, and that's about. And I'm not going to hold up to, but I just want to say a prayer for the people in Haitians, and all to my old school folks. Do say a prayer for Teddy Pendergrass. Love TKO. Turn out the lights. He passed away yesterday. You old heads and young cats knew he was one of the founding fathers. So, but lovely T, you keep everything going in the year 2010.
All right,
I'll
thank
talk
you.
To
thank
you
for calling
in. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. He made a lot of good points. He really did. And, yeah, I think Pat Robinson is crazy. When I was younger, I used to like him, but now it's just like I think he seriously has issues.
Yeah.
Because, again, like you said, you know, you're not a guy. You can't predict why something happened. And it just said that, you know, Haiti, you know, it's because of the voodoo and they worship, you know, like the devil worshiping, he said. And he also said some mess like because they sold their souls to the devil to get their freedom from France. So he has a lot of serious issues. So people like that, you just got to write them off. Rush Limbaugh to me is just a pill popper. He's high half the time. You know what I'm saying? He's a Viking in head.
He
you know?
Yeah, and he honestly, like, he does have a strong following, but still, that doesn't give you the right to be stupid and be insensitive. Like, everything he was saying was so insensitive. It made me believe that, A, he does have an issue, but still, you can't look at those pictures and you can't see those images of these people and not have some sort of compassion, and he had none.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely none. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. It's devastating.
Yeah, it really is. And then I found it funny because I didn't understand what his point was. Like, once again, he was trying to blame Obama for the whole, you know, for the whole earthquake. He felt like, okay, when the dude, the underwear bomber, was on the plane trying to blow up, you know, the plane across Detroit or whatever, he felt like Obama took too long to respond and come out with an official statement. So he feels like, okay, well, now this hurricane happened in a whole other country, and now you're so quick to respond. But see, the difference between the whole well, it wasn't even a tragedy, because really no one in Detroit got hurt, no one got killed, the plane did not blow up. The only person who, you know, who even was affected was really the underwear bomber. He's the one who burnt up himself, really. So it's just like no one was really hurt, so why, you know, could he have came out and spoke sooner? I don't know. I don't really care. But it's just like there's thousands of people dead and missing in Haiti, so why shouldn't he come out and speak? You know what I'm saying? It's just like Rush Limbaugh trying to find any little thing to discredit the president, you know. But it's just it's crazy because it's just like there's so many more things that are more important. But it's like, you know, everybody wants to be an attention whore and say their little piece just to, you know, steal some attention away from what's going on. What the main fact is that there's people suffering right now in Haiti. So, Marty, did you hear about any of that?
No.
You didn't?
Mm-hmm. I've been watching the I can't even speak right now. The news, CNN and stuff like that, and just seeing the coverage, but I haven't really gotten too deep into it, but read the articles and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you guys were saying it's just crazy because I don't know who this Pat Robinson person is.
He's like some preacher.
A preacher?
Yeah, he's that preacher that be on TV. He come on about 10 o'clock at night, and he'll always be on there. He's like a real, real old white dude, and he'd be on there preaching and stuff.
Oh,
he comes on like 31 or something.
700 Club.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm, that's him. I forgot the name of his little club, but yeah, that's him. You know what I'm saying? And he just got so much to say. And my thing is, if you're supposed to be a preacher, you would think you're trying to be positive in times like this, but he always throws out statements like that. I don't think no one should be shocked because he did the same thing when Katrina happened. He blamed that on all the sex and the voodoo and how corrupted New Orleans was. So he came up with something for Katrina as well. But it's crazy. Celebrate is in the chat room, and she says that it does seem like when a tragedy happens in other countries, the U.S. rushes over there, but when things happen here, they take their time. And I agree with that, and I think the main thing that we can attest to that is the Katrina thing. Like, you know,
yeah.
Look how long, you know, it took for someone to get help for these victims. They were on the roof of their homes for, like, you know what I'm saying, a week, you know, days.
That's why I haven't really been too into the coverage. I mean, of course, it's a sad situation, but of course we need to help people in need, but at the same time, I feel as if we really, really are still not on track to get our country on track where it needs to be, and this is just a distraction for the country as a whole, and that's just going to put a hindrance on what we're, you know, trying to get to, or where we're trying to get to get ourselves back with the recession and everything else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel you on that, but I mean, I still look at it like, you know, it's still people suffering who need help. So it's just like really they don't have no type of infrastructure, like not like a real, real strong infrastructure. So it's like they really need all the help they can get. And then
I wouldn't disagree with the efforts that are being made to help. So I wouldn't say that. I'm not saying I disagree. We shouldn't help them because we have our own stuff to. Of course, I wouldn't say that. I just feel like it's just still a hindrance regardless. We want to be there and support them or what have you, but I just feel, and then I'm just reading this article on Yahoo, and they're saying that this is one of Obama's tests with this whole earthquake situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, and I guess I see where you and Sarah are coming from, because it's like when stuff happens outside the country, it's like everyone looks to the U.S. to step up and help, but yet
right.
No one likes the U.S., you know what I'm saying? Like, they want our help. Like, when everything happened in, what was that, Pakistan, it's like they were waiting for, like, the U.N. troops, and they wanted U.S. help, but yet and still, they're still bombing our troops, and they're still hurting our troops. But, you know, at the end of the day, we still can't look at it like that, because at the end of the day, it's still people, and there's innocent people who have nothing to do with the politics. They have nothing to do with the wars. They have nothing to do with Islam or whatever else. So it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, there's children. There's little children out there suffering, and babies being pulled out of the rubble and their parents are dead. So I think, for me personally, I just look at the humanity, the human aspect of it. And I didn't even realize that Haiti was only like an hour away from Florida. Like, I didn't realize it was that close. You know, so that, you know, like you said, it could have happened. What if that earthquake had shifted a little bit, you know, further off the coast of Florida, and that was Miami? You get what I'm saying? So it's like we're all part of the human race. Like, that could have been any of us. We have earthquakes all the time in California. What if that was a big one that everybody's been talking about forever that hit California? You know, it's like, so, you know, we all need to help each other, because the next time it could be the U.S. You just never know. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, we can only do so much, but it is a lot. And it's a tragedy, and it's hard. It's hard to see the images. But, I'm kind of glad they're being honest and they're not trying to sugarcoat anything, because it's letting people know what's really going on. You know, usually, like, America is like, oh, we don't want to show the deceased. And, you know, they try and, you know, blanket stuff. And it's like now it's in everybody's face, you know what I'm saying? And I think the shock of it is going to, you know, make people step up even more. Like, it's very, very destitute. It really is. And then people forget, even though we're kind of chilly here in the Southeast, you know, and Minnesota is freezing. It's about 90 degrees in Haiti. Like, this is their winter. They don't have, like, a cold winter. So these people are hot. They're dehydrated. There's no water. There's no food. So, I mean, it's really, really sad, because it's like right now it's 90-degree weather. And on top of that, you're dealing with the bodies, and the bodies are starting to decay. So it's just a really, really horrible situation. I feel bad for anyone who's over there right now. You know,
right.
It has to be hard to just even comprehend what's going on, you know, so it is. But we have about 30 minutes left, so we're going to kind of go on to the next topic here of, for our 2010 show. Basically, now, did you guys watch? I did a video on it, and I'm just trying to see who I watched. It was the special on ABC. It was called 42% of Black Women Are Unmarried and Single. And basically, they were on ABC, and I forgot who they were, who was interviewing them. I forget her name. I don't want to say
Diane.
Was it Diane Sawyer?
I think so.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. But basically, they were interviewing these pretty well-to-do Black women, and they had college degrees, and they had made it, but for whatever reason, they were still single. So I just found it like, I wasn't feeling the show at all, and I had did a video about it, and I just felt like it was a lot of excuses. And I feel like the media loves to, you know what I'm saying, throw rocks and then turn around and hide their hands. Because I look at it like this. When has the media ever gave a damn about Black people or the plight of the Black woman? Especially when, you know what I'm saying, they have shows that degrade us constantly, like Flavor of Love and stuff
right.
like that. But now all of a sudden the media is concerned with Black women and you know, them being unwed and single. So I just felt like it was a ploy, and I felt like it was like, not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I definitely felt like it was something to kind of pit Black men and Black women against each other. So I wasn't feeling the show at all, and I wasn't feeling none of the women on there because I felt like they were full of excuses. And even one of the ladies was like a payroll clerk, like she did payroll. I'm like, that's making it? You know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that's a bad job. It's a job. It's a way to earn a living. But y'all talking like these chicks are lawyers and brain surgeons, and you know what I'm saying? You're like any other chick that went to college and got a degree. You know, so I thought the show was just kind of over the top. What did y'all think about it?
I didn't get a chance to see most of the show, but from what I've seen and what I heard, I just don't like the fact that like you said, they're exploiting us. But since when have we become a charity case? If that's the case, they should have been doing stories on us from back in the day in World War II when they were taking all the Black men and putting them on the front lines and leaving Black women as widows. Like, if that's the case, then you need to start talking about that. Like, honestly, for single Black women, professional Black women, I think, you know, everybody has a choice to be single. You may not find your tall, dark, and handsome with the six-figure salary and all that. There's good men who are out there. You just have to take the time to figure out what's important to you outside of the, you know, the stereotype things like, you know, like I said, big wallet, tall, dark, and handsome, or whatever it is that you're looking for. Those are just things. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You got to look at the person. You got to look at the person. So I don't really feel like I don't like the way they're making it seem like we are just, you know, we are just that demographic that is never going to get married. No, at 42 point whatever percent, they didn't even really break down the age. That's like from anywhere from 18 on to 40. If you're 18, you shouldn't be married anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, figuratively speaking, everybody, you do what is best for you. But, I mean, at the same time, like, don't make us a charity case, because we're not. There's good men out there. You just got to know what you're looking for.
Exactly. And I felt like a lot of the ladies were, like, mad picky. I mean, it
yeah.
was like, my man has to be. The one chick said that she wanted a dude who was 5'6". I mean, come on now, 5'6"? Come on, son. You know what I'm saying? In my Ed Lover voice, like 6'5". And it's like when you think about 6'5", that's like NBA. There's guys in the NBA who aren't 6'5". So you're basically
right.
looking for a baller. You know what I'm saying? Keep it real. Don't say that your standard is a guy who's 6'5". And then, okay, I can understand that she was a tall female. Because, you know, I understand if you're a female and you're 5'11", you may not necessarily want to go out with a guy who's 5'8". I can see that. But she was a cheerleader. And as we know, cheerleaders aren't that tall. Cheerleaders are small. So
right.
it's just like, you know, you're not 5'11", so why do you feel like you need a guy who's 6'5"?
Right.
You know, so I just felt like some of, like, these people were overly picky. And it was, you know, it's easy to blame somebody else for your fault. It's easy to say, well, I can't get a man because I'm educated or, you know, I'm too cute, I have too much going on for myself, when it's just really you have a nasty attitude and a nasty disposition.
Very,
and I
very
think
true.
That's what it was. You know, I'm not saying they all were like that, but I'm thinking a majority of them were kind of like that. They just had really, really bad attitudes, and it was just like, you know, a lot of these guys probably did not want to be bothered with them. Because the girl even made a comment where she said that, what did she say on there? She said that she had went on a date with a white guy, and the white guy approached her. She was out with her girlfriends. The white guy approached her. They were having, like, really, really good conversation, and she felt like the white guy liked it, her. And then afterwards, he just got up and walked off. And like I said in the video, if he was really feeling you, there's no way a guy's just going to get up and walk off without either at least asking for your phone number, wanting to take you out, you know, just stuff like that. So I just felt like, man, she was full of it. I feel like a lot of them were just on there just to be on the show, not realizing what that image is once again, you know, doing in the black community, basically pitting us against each other and making yep. black men once again look like they're not about nothing. And, like, you know, right. all black men are either in jail, you know what I'm saying, either locked up in jail, not about nothing, got a bunch of kids by a bunch of different women. Are there some black guys like this? Yeah, of course, but there's white guys like that. There's Hispanic guys like that. So, I mean, it doesn't just fall into one race or one category. Marty, what did you think about the show if you got to see it? What do you just think about women who are like that, period?
Just uppity. I mean, because I'm reading the article now. I heard about it, but I'll read it, like, the article right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what I think Steve Harvey was saying is that they're just, you have to find a match. He has to have the same amount of money I'm making and the same stats that I'm at and all this education level. But if you're trying to look, are you looking for love, or
are you looking for a business partner? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Are you looking
yeah.
for love or a business partner? Which one is it?
Yeah. So,
but you know what? So I don't think Steve Harvey needs to give any advice, because first of all, I'm gonna need him to work on his three marriages. That, you know what I'm saying, he done been married three times and none of them worked. So really, to me, he's not the be-all and all of advice. I don't even know why they put him on the show. But it's like he's on Oprah. He's everywhere trying to tell black women what they need to do to keep a man, but you can't seem to keep a woman.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? If you're the be-all end-all, you know so much about relationships, why is your marriage is constantly failing? Why do you cheat on your wives? You know what I'm saying? So I just find that really funny that he's like now this marriage counselor. And he's this, you know, relationship expert. I just need him to be a comedian. Nothing more, nothing less.
To Steve's defense, he has this book called Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. That book is
mm-hmm.
off the chain.
You
but,
read it?
I mean, I did read it, and honestly, he did have some good points in there, you know, but and he also talked about all of the things that he did wrong, you know, in relationships and stuff like that, and things that we as women should watch for. But, I mean, and to Marty's point, to just say that, you know, you can't be looking for no business partner, because what anybody has now, like, even if you're a woman and you have this great job and you make all this money, in a year or two, maybe you won't be making that same money, have that same job. That's just like anybody else. But for black women who are looking for a man, you can't be looking for, like I said, you know, Prince Charming. Prince Charming might be the frog. You might have to kiss him and make him the prince. You know, you can't just sit there and say that, you can't just write off all black men because they don't have six-figure salaries and look a certain way or whatever. You can't write them all off, because as much as people be like, oh, there's no good black men out there, they're out there. They're just not in the package that you think you want them in. You got to look deeper than that. Have some personal standards, like, how do you want somebody to treat you? How do you treat that other person? Stuff like that. That's the important stuff.
And if a person is like, I mean, he may not have six figures now, but if he has the potential and he's aspiring for that,
yep.
what's the problem?
Right.
Exactly. Because, yeah, look at
Michelle
that lady. Remember the Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yep.
The Deshaun, the born one?
Yeah.
Now, she had been with him since high school, no, since college. And I know she was like, remember we used to eat ramen noodles together, and we never dreamt that we'd have this. Now, what if she had been like, oh, he's just a broke black man, he ain't about shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And she would have let that go, and now he's an NBA ball player, he's doing his thing, he's rich, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes you got to holler, like she already saying, she said sometimes you have to holler at the strong garbage man. You know what I'm saying? He might be dripping of garbage juice, but you never know, 10 years from now, the garbage man might own the company.
Right. Have a fleet of trucks, so you guys live in the garbage can or the garbage man kingdom. You never know.
Exactly, balling.
You never, ever know. And like I was just going to say before, look at Michelle and Barack. Michelle made more money than Barack did. Barack went to Harvard and wrote a book right after he got out. He didn't go make that six-figure salary. He went to go write a book, and he was working as a community organizer. So, and they got married, and she was the breadwinner. But she didn't make him feel less than anything because that's what he wanted to do. She supported what he wanted to do, and now he's the president. She's the first lady, and if she didn't want to work, she doesn't have to.
Exactly.
You know, it's just about finding the potential in people. Just like and for the people who have all these standards, what makes you think that you are all of that? You might not be, but somebody's going to see the potential in you.
But see, the standards that are tripping me out is this, they're not. I'm not really seeing like true standards. I'm just like physical and materialistic type stuff.
Yes.
What about emotional connection, and does he treat me right, and does he respect me, and what about that type of stuff?
Exactly. Right. And unfortunately, we just live in a society where it's all about materialism, you know what I'm saying, and what you can get from a person and what they can do for you. You know, it's not really even about love no more.
Yep. Very, very true. Very, very true.
It's true, because when you think about everything that they were calling off, they wanted a guy with a lot of money. They wanted a guy who was 6'5". They want a guy who looked like this. You know, it's all about physical appearance. And, you know, like you said, what about a guy who's a good man? What about a guy who's a good provider? Maybe, you know what I'm saying, maybe Tyrone is working at McDonald's right now. You know what I'm saying? But he's also in college. Can we support Tyrone?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But don't get mad because you're mad that he's working at McDonald's and while he's going to school. So then you're like, okay, well, that's not fast money. So now you go and talk to Craig and them who's selling drugs. And then when Craig gets locked up because he's selling drugs to try and keep the females, he's trying to keep the girls jacked and whatever, trying to stay in the latest gear or whatever. And so now Craig gets locked up, Chick leaves Craig, and now Tyrone owns McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Now Tyrone's doing the damn thing, and now you're sitting up here with three of Craig's kids mad.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people get themselves in that type of situation as well. Like they get with the thugs and the bad boys, and then later on in life they regret that.
Yep. Very, very true. Very, very true.
And Son Nubian said that he appreciates all the love that we're showing the brothers. I love the brothers. That's one thing I do. I do. I love my fellas, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like at the end of the day, we have to support them because I get so tired of when I go on YouTube and I see these gender war videos and it's black men bashing black women and black women ain't shit. We're all chicken heads. We don't know who our baby's fathers are. And it's just a bunch of mess. And we're turning around. We're doing the same thing. And I just feel like the disrespect has to stop. You know, at the end of the day, there's good and bad in every race. Yes, there are some black chicken head females. I'll be the first to admit that. Yes, there are some thug-ass dudes who ain't about shit. I'll be the first to admit that. But don't cross all of us out. You know what I'm saying? There's still a lot of good black women out there, and there's definitely a lot of good black brothers. I'm going to always support and represent my good black brothers. If you're handling your business, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to always have your back. So I just feel like more, that's what we need to see in the media, and unfortunately we don't see that. We see the chicken heads, we see the Flavor Flav, we see the New Yorks, you know, we see, you know, them, like the Flavor Love girls, we see those type of females. Those are who represent the black female. And then you have, like, the Chance and the Real Chance of Love, they represent the black male. You know what I'm saying? Super feminine and just, I'm not feeling Real or Chance whatsoever. But it's just like, you know, we have horrible representation for our race. And we're so much more than what they show on television. That's what pissed me off when they did that report on ABC. Because I'm like, this damn, and I'm not trying to make it a race issue, but it's like Diane Sawyer sitting here like she really cares about the plight of black women. You don't give a shit about us. Once that camera got done rolling, she got up and got in her car and drove to her nice house to go be with her husband.
Right.
while these black women are sitting here on the damn show kissing and moaning about how they can't find no man.
But see,
so
that's,
I just thought it was ridiculous.
I'm reading this thing, but the way they're talking in these little excerpts from this article is like, do you even have confidence in yourself?
No, I think that's the problem. That is the problem. All these, you know, you can't, man or woman, I'm not even going to say women, man or woman, if you don't have the confidence in yourself to, you know, to be comfortable in your own skin, you can't be worried about anybody who's trying to be with you then. You got to work on you first before you can be with anybody.
Yeah, you're right, because if you're not happy within yourself, and there's something about yourself that you detest, and when you look in the mirror, you're not happy. You're not going to be able to make any man happy or any person, you know.
Right.
And it's just, it's unfortunate because a lot of us do walk around here with low self-esteem, and we're not happy with what we see, be it the images that we're fed or be it, you know what I'm saying, the way we were raised. There's just a lot of people out here who are miserable, and they hide behind facades, and they hide behind, oh, well, I have a, you know, my house is bigger than your house. I got the latest Fendi bag. I got the latest Prada shoes. But in turn, you're not happy. That's just materialism. You can't take that with you to the grave.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day. But Sarah Rare is saying that, and I don't know if that's what she meant to write, but she was saying that good girls are not entertaining. And I don't really think that's true. I think some, you know, some good girls, I guess, can be boring. But I feel like it's a balance. You know what I'm saying? You can still be a good girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can still handle your business. You know what I'm saying? Go to school, do what you got to do. But then you can still have that, like, that sexiness about you, that swagger. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know when to turn it up. I don't think you should ever be boring, because I'm not talking to nobody who's boring. If I was a dude, I would not talk to a boring girl. I don't care how good she is. You know, I feel like you can still carry yourself as a woman and still be sexy and entertain your man and go out. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to just sit there and just be blah. You know, there's a difference between being, like, blah and then just, you know, handling your business. And I just feel like some women are like that. She said she's talking about in the media. Okay, I see what you're saying. She's saying in the media they usually make the good girls boring and not entertaining, and, like, the bad girls are usually the fun ones. Like, if you see Rock of Love, how the bad girls are, like, you know, they're the ones on the stripper pole and they're having a good time, then what you got to do as a good girl, push that bad bitch out the way and get up on that pole.
Right.
Let me tell my man something.
Yep. I mean, and I think that's just how it is, just with men and women in general. You know what I mean? But it's just who, I don't know. Good girls don't always have to be boring. You know, that's relative. They don't always have to be boring. And they probably aren't. But, you know, if you never give them a chance, you won't know. And that's man or woman. Like, if you think a guy is quiet, he might just be quiet because he don't know you. And then when he gets to know you, he turns into the life of the party.
Exactly. But, yeah, I just, that show just kind of, that tripped me out. You know what I'm saying? These crazy expectations, and then they have Steve Harvey's corny ass up there trying to dish advice, all the while trying to flirt with the women. His only solution is, how about you date an older man? Well, everybody who's 25 don't want to date a 50-year-old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Older guys are cool, but, you know, not everyone who's 25 wants to date somebody who's 50. So, no,
right.
That's not the be-all, end-all of advice. That's what I'm just saying. Steve Harvey needs to sit down. He said that so them girls would get with him. That's what that was. He wanted that chick because he was fun with her hard on that show.
That is true.
But
funny.
JT's in the chat room, and he's saying that, you know, once again, some chicks are looking for perfection, and nobody's perfect, and that's the truth. Nobody out here is perfect, male, female, or otherwise, and I don't care if it's a gay relationship, a straight relationship. If you go into any relationship with these super high expectations of what you want somebody else to be, you're not going to find that, especially when you don't have those same expectations of yourself. The same expectations you're looking for, like, that's what trips me out, like, when you get chicken heads, right? They'll be like, I want a man who's balling. I want a man on 22s. I want a man with the latest pair of Jordans. But then you're looking at her, she got on some dollar store flip-flops. She's taking the bus. You know what I'm saying? She ain't got no money, her damn self. Hair ain't done. She look busted. But you want a man with all these, you know what I'm saying, particulars. But you look, you know what I'm saying, you're not doing that with yourself. Or you want a guy who makes a six-figure income, but you want welfare. Ain't nothing wrong with welfare, but you know what I'm saying, be realistic. Like, you have to be able to come to a relationship with goals and stuff as well. You can't just be some chick, you know what I'm saying, kick back, and you're not doing that with your life, but yet and still you want you know what I'm saying, the man that you're looking for, you want them to have all these expectations. Like, I don't understand that. Like, the same expectations that you want for other people to have, you should be willing to have those same expectations for yourself.
Very true.
But do you think that because these women, like successful sort of women or what have you, they feel, well, I've made it and I've done it independently and I don't have time to carry nobody. Is that their mindset that they're thinking?
I think some of it was, you know, and I can see that, you know, because like I said in my video, I don't feel like you should ever have to dumb your expectations down. So let's say, okay, you are a college grad, you have your own home, you have a nice car, whatnot. You know what I'm saying? You're handling your business as a woman. I can respect that, right? So should she have to settle and get some thug-ass dude who don't want to do nothing with himself? Should she have to play bum a nigga-itis? I don't think she should have to do that. You should never have to bum nobody. You feel me?
Right.
So
right.
I think you should always have a certain amount of expectations, but it's when somebody's making $30,000 a year, but you want a guy who makes $200,000.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't he make $30,000 or even $35,000? You feel me? So that's my whole thing is the super high expectations. You should never have to dumb yourself down. If you're making $40,000 a year, okay, well, you don't want the fry cook at Burger King, that's fine. That's your choice. You don't have to date somebody who's only making $18,000. But you never know. That might be something that you really click with. He may really, truly, genuinely love you. You know, but I can understand them feeling like they don't want to carry anyone. But again, when it's relationships, you really have to decipher what's important to you. Is it the money aspect? Is it being happy? Is it being with that person? And that's really up to that individual to really truly find out.
Yeah, because one of the things
they
ask, what's their qualities that they're looking for? One of the girls says honesty, so the other one says supportive, and then the other chick goes financial stability. So
excuse me,
that's
yeah.
What looking for. I mean, you want to have
there's some people calling in. Okay, we got some hands raised. All right, let me go. 704 area code 704. You're on the line.
Hi, it's Sunshine.
Hey, boo. How you doing, Sunshine?
Good. I'm glad to hear you're on tonight.
Yeah, I know it's been a while, but I had to come on and do a show. I miss my Blog Talk Radio people.
And we
so
miss
what
you
got
too,
to-
lovely C.
Thank you. So what you got to say about the show?
I just chimed in, so I'm just glad to hear that you're back. Back in effect.
Thank you, girl. So now I know that you were in college and you know what I'm saying, you had yourself together. Did you see the ABC special about 42% of black women are single?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What did you think about that?
It's pretty much as true. I mean, you have I'm not going to say we're more driven because, again, it depends on the individual, for one. Mm-hmm. However, we do have a lot of our young black males are incarcerated, you know, because they're following around those crowds that they want to be in. They want to be, you know, they've been set up for failure to me, too. So it's just so much that I see that plays a big part of why we are single, because we are more motivated to steer away from trouble, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like, though, I guess to me, I'm always trying to, like, decipher stuff. Like, I feel like, why is that? Like, why is it that we're so quick to pat a female on the back and say, you know, go to school and get your education, but then we'll turn around and tell our sons, you know what I'm saying, be a man, do what you got to do, thug life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why is that? Like, why aren't we encouraging our young boys to stay in school and get that degree? It's almost like they do that, then they're chumps. So I think society needs to change their mentality.
You're so right.
So do you find, like, a lot of women who are in their 30s and up, they're single because they have super high expectations, or do you think it's just mainly, like, the men are intimidated by their education?
Actually, it's a little bit of both, I feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a relationship where my mate was intimidated because of me pursuing my career and pursuing my education. And, you know, he at the time didn't have the drive to do or want more, you know. So
mm-hmm.
It's just... But again, it does fall back to, you know, us too, you know, being going as far back as slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else feel the same? Where we've been
brainwashed slavery. No,
I'm serious.
You know, we all got to bring it back on my show. People are like, y'all always bring up slavery. Yeah, we do.
But I mean, it's going to continue to. Unfortunately, it continues to. Because we allow it to.
You're right. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes, like, when people, like, okay, I think sometimes people use their education also as, like, a crutch, like a comfort. It's like if they don't have nothing else in life, they have that piece of paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes that education, that degree becomes them. It's like that's all they have in life, but there's more to life than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like they become, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like they... It's like when you ask them something, it's like, you know how you ever get somebody, you could be like, how are you doing today? I have a bachelor's. I just
know
how you're doing. You know what I'm saying? You got people who just want you to know that they got a degree, and it's like, okay, thank you. I just asked you. You know what I'm saying? So I think sometimes because they're...
That's, again, going back to, again, like you said, though, people, I mean, not men, women, whoever, that's all they have to offer. That's all they feel they have to offer. So they want to match that because they don't have a personality or they don't have this or that. Say who?
Martell.
Marty J. Boo.
Oh, my TJ. I know it's all with M.
Who this?
Sunshine.
Oh, what's up, Sunshine?
Oh, there you go. Look, now, why does voice get all deep and sexy? Oh, what's up, Sunshine? I'm going to need you to stop. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take one more call. We got a call on the line, 863, area code 863. I'm about to let you on. Say your name.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Elijah.
Hey, Elijah.
Hey, Elijah.
Good, good, y'all. Was good.
So what you think about the show, Elijah?
Oh, man, give me a little preview since I got on late like you usually do. Just give me a little preview, then I'll go off.
How come I always got to get Elijah preview and run back? Okay, basically what we're saying, Elijah, is now did you see that ABC special where they said that 42% of black women are single?
Yeah.
And they're basically saying that they're single because black men are intimidated by their education and by their success and that there's no good black men out here.
I want to comment on that. Okay. how can I say this? Just because, every male is different, okay? Every man is not going to be intimidated, you know what I mean? Just because a female makes more money than them, some females have that, that swagger, that demeanor about them, that some females want to be, want the male to be intimidated. A lot of guys are not intimidated. Some guys just feel like, okay, I'm the man, I have to be the man if I date this girl, so I have to be the one with the big pockets full of money and things like that, and that's where it goes off with the guys in the neighborhoods that sell the drugs and stuff like that, you know, just to get the attention from the ladies to see that they can be dominant. 42% of them are single because a lot of girls have high expectations. Instead of finding somebody that's going to care for them and love for them, a lot of females are looking for a guy that, stable and is perfect. You ain't going to find that perfect.
Well, not so much perfect, but why should they settle, though?
Listen, though, they shouldn't settle. They should find something that's best for them, not for what they want. What's best for them, it is different. You know what I mean? You can always find something out there that's best for you. There's always somebody out there for somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people don't take that time out to look at that. You know, it's not about the materialistic stuff. See, when people say that, they really don't take that word. A lot of people say, okay, it's not about materialistic stuff, but you turn around and be with a girl, and she get more money than you, or she going to get tired of that.
Right.
Word up. She going to get tired of that. So it's not really that. It's just a lot of girls don't really know what they want. Once a female find out what she wants, that 42% will turn into zero.
So what do y'all think, like I was asking my two co-hosts, of like people who have these ridiculous high expectations, but yet and still they ain't got nothing to bring to the table. like I said before, you a damn food stamp recipient, but you want a man who's making, you know what I'm saying, a six-figure income,
well,
but you're not doing that with your life. So how do you feel about people who have that mentality? And like I said, there's nothing wrong with getting food stamps, welfare, if you need to get it. But what I'm saying is that's all you want to do is sit and collect a check. You don't want to work.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to school. You'd rather get a check every month while you're waiting for this baller to come and, you know, take you out the, you know, take you out the hood or whatever.
Those are the females or males, because some males get food stamps too. Those are the females or males that have no morals for themselves, have no respect for themselves, and definitely is not looking for nothing in a relationship but money. So, you know, those kind of people, they stay by themselves for a reason. If you're smart, you would never mess with nobody like that, because they would do nothing but use you, eat you up, and spit you out.
Well, they should be fed. You can always have a meal. I'm just saying.
But
the refrigerator will be stocked.
Yeah, it will be, but at the same time, I can see that there is some females out there that are low budget like that and really do want a man to help and all that and stuff like that with food stuff, and they got food stuff stuff. But at the same time, I think a lot of people should start off young guys and with their career and stuff, like sometimes you go to school and stuff like that. I think that's pretty smart, instead of laying up and having babies. And when you get that food stuff, you get in that particular spot where you're like by yourself and you're struggling, that's your consequences, you know what I mean, of having kids and stuff like that. So you need to just take care of that, you know, be independent, learn how to be independent before you should think about a man, you know. Learn how to be independent first, and then think about, okay, well, maybe it would be nice if I could have a man on my side, you know, somebody to cuddle with that night.
I mean, that's true, but none of us want to be independent for 45 years.
I'm not saying get the food stamps, be independent. I'm saying just know how to take care of yourself first instead of worrying
about
somebody.
Oh, you're talking about the food stamp chick. Okay, I thought you was back on the college chick.
I'm saying just know when you got your food stamps and all that, whatever, most, 9 out of 10, when you get food stamps, most likely you got a child. 9 out of 10. Not all the time. Some people just get them to get them, you know. Some people do have jobs, I think. A certain amount of hours or whatever, get a certain amount of money on their paycheck and they still get food stamps. So I'm saying for the ladies that are baby mothers, you know, I think that's very, if I can stand that out. Baby mothers are a lot, most of the ladies that will be like, okay, I want a man to sweep me off my feet, I have kids and all that. You know, those are basically, like, you know, that's responsibility and all that. And I understand girls want men that are like that, but they need to, you know, learn to be independent on their own. You know, and a man will see a good woman. Ladies need to know that. A good man will see a good woman. So they don't need to be worrying about, I want a man, I need a man. No, you don't need a man. What you need to do is just take care of yourself, respect yourself, and take care of your own. And a man will see that. When you really taking care of yourself, don't think a man is not looking. Just for the males, too, when you taking care of yourself, and you doing your thing, and you okay, you got all your teeth, you ain't got no record, no nothing like that, you doing fine, even if you do have all that stuff, you get out of jail, you do fine, don't ever think you too low to get any girl that you want. Any girl, any guy is always possible to get. Just take care of yourself first. Let it be known that you can be on your own and still be happy. And people see that. And that attracts the opposite male. The opposite female. You know what I mean? The opposite sex. I'm sorry. That attracts the opposite sex, you know? So just basically taking care of yourself, that always attracts the opposite sex. So that's all I got to say about that.
Okay.
Well, I agree with you. That makes a lot of sense. We got about 6 minutes left. We're not going to go into overtime, but we have about 6 minutes left. So, T-Baby, do you feel like a lot of people either settle or a lot of people rush into stuff because it's like, cause I know, I think it's bigger in the South, and I don't know if you can kind of feel me on this, Sunshine, where it seems like a lot of people in the South feel like they have to be married and have children by the time they're 30. That's like a sudden thing. I mean, even if you're up north too, but I'm like, damn, I done met more chicks down here where it's like they want to be, you know what I'm saying, they got to be married, they have to have a baby, everything by the time they're 30. It's like, that's like they dream from the time they shorties in the South. I don't know. I'm just thinking it's a Southern thing. People up north, I mean, yeah, we get married, but it's not as much as in the South. But it's like everybody, nobody wants to be lonely. That's the main thing. Like, what do you guys think about that? Like, people who hurt and settle because they feel like their biological clock is ticking.
I actually can agree or attest to that because I'm a woman that is actually 32 years old.
Oh, wow.
And you're right.
And she don't look at either, boo. Look damn good.
Thank you. And I actually said that was one of my New Year's resolution because I was, you know, in the past always saying, Tag, you know, I'm getting older. I'm not going to have any kids. I don't have any kids yet either. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, my biological clock is ticking. What am I going to do? You know, all my girlfriends have kids, and I'm, like, the only one that's not, you know, with two and three kids. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to be 50 years old trying to run around a five-year-old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is more so geared towards being a Southern thing since
It is. Mhm. I think it definitely is. Hold on, we got a caller. I'm gonna listen in real quick. We got about 4 minutes left, y'all. Hold on. Caller 314, you on the line? Hello. Hold on, I think I muted them. 314.
Peace, brothers and sisters. It's your brother, Son Nubian. How is everybody?
Hey,
we're doing good. How you doing, Son Nubian?
I'm pretty good. Love, is this lovely tea?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. Well, good. You're doing a very good job. I'm enjoying the show. And I'll make it quick because I know you don't have much time left. I just want to say, you know, I mean, there are a litany of reasons why a lot of black women are single. I just want to point out a few things. We have to realize that there are not enough men. I mean, there are more women than men. So you're going to have some women that are single. There's not that many of us because, you know, I mean, you can go on and on with the reasons why there's a shortage of men, and I won't get into that. But what I'll just say is that there are some women that I know personally that have, they're in their 50s and never been married. And I don't know if that's a personal reason, but that's kind of what happens sometimes, you know. And, I don't think that's the life that no woman wants to live, you know, to not ever get married or not ever have children, you know. I think that some women, they're single by choice, you know. It's a choice not to. And being single is not really a bad thing to me, in my opinion. You know, I think a woman who's out of a relationship should just use that time for being single for personal growth and development and get to know themselves. Just get out of their area and travel. Get out of that little town called Westbury, North Dakota. Just get out and travel for a minute and meet different people.
He said Westbury, North Dakota. I know that's right. You're right. Sometimes you have to.
Right, I just made that up. But, you know, just those little towns, little enclaves, just get out of there and get out and travel and meet different people. You know, that's all. I mean, because there are men everywhere. But, you know, you can't just confine yourself to men and just in that little area you live in. And that's all I want to say. I don't want to take much of your time. But thanks for taking my
call. Okay. But thank you so much for calling in. We got about 90 seconds left. I appreciate the call, Mr. Son Nubian. Black Prince. Okay, so we got about 90 seconds left. I really enjoyed the show. It was a really good show. We have some latecomers creeping in. Shout out to Don Calypso. That's my boy. Your family is in our prayers. Don Calypso is from Haiti. So he talked to his parents today, so I'm so happy that they're okay.
Thank God.
Shout out to Mr. Search here. Yes, yeah, a lot of crazy stuff going on. I'm so happy they're okay. But thank you, everyone who came to my show. I'm back. It's 2010. We're going to do it big. I'm going to, you know, come back every Thursday. Bring me different topics. Hit me up on YouTube. You can find me on Lovely T 2002 on YouTube. Crazy, but I always keep it real.
I know that's
any
right.
Any last words? We end the minute in 2010. Yeah, we're going to do it. And, you know, to everybody who's single, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being single. But, you know, just look within first. And I think there's somebody out here for everybody. It may take a while, but there's somebody out here for everybody. So definitely don't feel bad if you're not married or have children by the time you're 30. You know, sometimes God doesn't bless you until you're 40, 45, and that's okay. There's a lady in the Bible who had a baby at an old age. I forgot her name.
Yeah.
But
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah. I should know.
I am not fooling with you. She said Sarah.
Dang.
I see.
That's enough.
All right, man. Thank y'all for calling, and I appreciate that, Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Peace out. Everyone have
my Sarah.
That was too funny.
You didn't remember her name?
Sunshine is a mess.
That's what happened.
Sarah.
Wow. That's so sad.
That is a mess. That was too funny. She said, Sarah, I should know. Girl, they in the chat room cracking up like, it was Sarah. I know that name too.
Wow. Hey, wasn't that like in the First Testament or something?
Yes, the Old Testament.
Yeah. I know somebody.
Mm-hmm. But my mom always tells me that, don't worry, honey. Your eggs won't be too old.
Oh, you know what? Hold up. I think we're still on air. Let me hang this up. I'm sorry. I'm still on the... We're in the archives,
oh, wow.
Laughing and carrying on. Oh, my God. Okay. Sorry.